Hey, let's go back to Boston Fenway Park, MLB.com senior writer. Barry Bloom is nice enough to join us. Barry, how are you this morning?
Hey, Barry.
It's great. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks for taking the time to join us. You were in Yankee Stadium this week. Just set up the evening of the last game of Derek Jeter and the magical end of it. I know you were very moved by it and reading some of the things you put on Twitter.
Well, I've got to say that as a jaded sports writer who has been to many different events, I would say that Jeter game is at the top for the absolute intensity that it had from the minute the game started till the unlikely way it ended. I thought the crowd was phenomenal. And, you know, Jeter just answered it. And to me, to play under that kind of pressure, you know, it's one thing. Mariano Rivera last year, you know, he's an eighth or ninth inning guy, obviously usually a ninth. They put him out there for one inning, a couple of pitches, take him off the field. But Jeter has to deal with this building pressure of his last innings at Yankee Stadium as the game was going by and the chanting at the almost eulogies that were being displayed on the video board every day, every inning. I mean, it was really an incredible experience. Just unbelievable the way it ended.
Yeah, you've been around baseball a long time, so to hear you say that, I know it must have been amazing. So here it is. It's the ninth inning. Everyone thinks they're going to take him out, you know, and get him off the field, and all of a sudden the game's tied up, and now he's going to hit in the bottom half. And are you saying to yourself, can this actually happen? Can he actually get a hit to win the game?
Right.
Well, it's funny because one of my colleagues who covers the Baltimore Orioles, you know, turned to me in the fifth inning, and she said, how do you think this game is going to turn out? And I said, well, if the world were just, it would end with Jeter getting the game-winning base hit. So the fact is that so much with the Yankees having a 5-2 lead going into the top of the ninth had to conspire for that to happen, with Roberts giving up the two home runs, the Orioles tying the game, then going into the bottom of the ninth, the first guy up getting a base hit, pinch runner comes in, Gardner bunts him down to second base, and now you have the situation here where, you know, Jeter, who has just absolutely killed the Baltimore Orioles for the course of his career, he's like a 360 lifetime hitter in the Orioles. And Buck Showalter has said over and over again throughout the season that as much as it's sad that to see him retire, he's glad that he's not going to be wreaking havoc on the Orioles anymore. So you have this situation with this kid Meek on the mound. You know, Buck, who, you know, basically goes lefty-righty when he sneezes, he decides to leave the guy out there. You know, and you know, you have a young kid pitching in that situation. You have first base open, and if it was a game that meant something, I have no doubt that Buck would have walked him and pitched the next guy. But instead, I think Buck figured this is his opportunity. Let's give him a shot at it. Girardi certainly wanted to give a shot at it by not running, you know, the kid Richardson anymore. And just Jeter came through on a Tony Gwynn type hit, just punching it into the 3.5 hole of the right field.
Wow.
It was pretty amazing.
What a story. Go ahead.
Yeah, Barry Bloom, MLB.com on the Ring Central guest line here on KNBR. How about the way he did it? Going to right field, inside out it, jammed it to right, banged it to right. That, I mean, that's pretty much Derek Jeter and his whole career in a nutshell, just in the way he did it, huh, Barry?
Right, and it reminded me a lot. You know, in my career, you know, I've been at and covered the last games that Gretzky played, Magic played, Barry Bonds up in San Francisco, Tony Gwynn down in San Diego. You know, Gwynn tried to do the same thing, batting left-handed. You know, he always had his patented 5-5 hole face hits into left field. And he in his last at-bat, he was reduced to a pinch hitter again. He came up and punched the ball towards the hole, but it wasn't quite over far enough, and it was a final 6-3 in his career. Yeah, that Jeter had the presence of mind and the bat control, considering the actual tumult of the moment that he was able to block everything out. And he said yesterday, well, he was able to block it out for 2 or 3 seconds, but that's all it took. It was one pitch. But for him to be able to do that in those circumstances, I guess instinct just took over. And, you know, he went with the pitch and took it right where he wanted.
Wow. Boy, Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com. I'm glad you were there for it. You gave a great description. There's some good columns that you wrote on MLB about it if fans want to take a look at it. Barry, let's switch subjects a little bit. He is in Fenway today. What happened in his first at-bat today, and what kind of a reception did he get?
Well, he got a standing ovation and then struck out pretty tepidly. So, you know, in his mind, I think that he feels that out of respect to the Red Sox fans and the rivalry, that he should make some sort of showing and play in these games. But I think if he had his druthers, that last hit would have been the last at bat of his career. But that's the type of player he is, and I'm not sure that you're going to get much out of him this weekend. I think he's a motion for Smith.
All right. Barry Bloom also lives down in Arizona. Kirk Gibson is gone. Tony La Russa's got Dave Stewart in there, DeJohn Watson. What's your take on what we can expect from the Arizona Diamondbacks, even managerial-wise?
You know, I don't know. I was looking at the list of candidates out there, and, you know, wouldn't the best guy be Dusty Baker at this point? You know, it would add to the all-minority cast that they now have in there. He's the most accomplished manager out there right now who doesn't have a job with a track record. He would be a message to the fans that, yeah, we're really serious in the immediate future to straighten this thing out, and we're spending money on a manager. We're not going to start this all over again with another first-year manager and wait to see if he develops. So, you know, I'd be interested to see where they go with that. I think Tony respects Dusty. I know Stewart loves Dusty. So that's my initial thought on it.
Barry, I got to ask, why get rid of Kirk Gibson this weekend? Why not let him finish the year?
You know, I think this has been pending for months. Really, you know, Tony, I think if he had the Hall of Fame induction middle of July, I think he would have done this a long time ago. It's something they should have. They should have gotten rid of both of these guys, Powers and Gibson, at the All-Star break, started over and got this thing going so that it's in full throttle for next year. And I think a lot of, you know, Tony's distractions had to do with the fact that it went where it did. And what he said was, as soon as he realized, you know, he had made a decision, he was going to tell Gibson. But I think this was hanging there, certainly after Towers was let go. It was hanging there like a shadow for a month. And I think he just wanted to put Kurt out of his misery.
Well, what a story. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If Tony La Russa hires Dusty Baker after the arguments and Brandon Phillips and that whole thing.
Wow.
If he hires him to manage the Diamondbacks, that will be quite a story, I'll tell you that. I don't disagree with the qualifications, but, boy, that would be some personalities to work through. Hey, Barry, thank you so much, as always, and for taking the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you during the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Good luck to the Giants there.
All right. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks. Barry Bloom. All right. MLB.com.